the Shushmarina Harav Shlita. Our topic for today, revenge is not sweet. Actually, the terminology revenge is sweet is not necessarily only an English term. The phrase, or a similar phrase, is found in the Sefer Mesilas Yeshorim, who writes Hanakoma Masuka Midrash, revenge could feel sweeter than honey. This is a subject which is slightly different to virtually all other mitzvahs, because it goes against the complete human nature and grain of one's core personality. Everybody has an ego, and to refrain from taking revenge for some wrongdoing which is done to you can be a very difficult thing indeed. When it comes to Shabbos, Kashrus, other mitzvahs, it doesn't go against the grain of one's ego in order to do them. Here is a case where if somebody's done something wrong to you, you have to refrain from doing something harmful back. It is Hashem who gives the revenge if it is necessary. As the Pasuk says, Kel Mekomos Hashem. Or as we say in the Avarachamim, Yivoda Bagoyim Leinenu Nikmas Dam Avodecho HaShofuch. Or Nakom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, as we say in Parshas Devarim Perek Vav. If someone does something nasty to you, the Sefer Chinuch says you should feel as though it is a punishment for your own sins. It is decreed from Hashem that that person shall do something harmful to you. That he might get punished for it, that's nothing to do with you. That's his cheshbon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Taz in Yeridah Siman Reish Kaf Ches, if you cut your gimel, the averus, a person, these are averus which a person is accustomed to do. And most of the world are nichshal in this, are tempted to fall into this subject. I know somebody once who was making a bris, and he needed somebody to carry a load of chairs for him. So he went to somebody with a big car and said, can I make use of your car to carry these chairs? And the person obliged, but then that person was not invited to the bris. So that person felt very upset about it. Alright, he didn't take revenge, but the Pasuk says lo sikom, lo sitom. Lo sitom means don't bear a grudge. And people harbour these resentments for years and years to come, that this fellow never invited me to that bris. And he feels that, okay, maybe there weren't enough people, maybe he forgot, maybe he intended to. You know what it's like when you're making a simcha, people get caught up with the excitement, and there are so many things to think about. Okay, he didn't mean any harm, and I'm sure he didn't mean any harm. We're also going to discuss, when you make a simcha, you know, can you say, I'm not going to send him an invitation because of something he did to me nasty? Or do we say, well, you know, you can't invite everybody. There's one family I know extremely well who parked their car outside their neighbour's door. Their neighbour has a disabled space, which was obtained by devious means. And so, just for 10 minutes, I'll leave my car. Just a few inches of the car was on this disabled space. And the neighbour got upset about it and called the police, and the police issued a parking ticket on that car. So sometime later, that family was making a bar mitzvah. And the lady of the house said, I'm not sending them a bar mitzvah invitation, not even to the kiddush, because I've got a parking ticket as a result of their selfishness. And the husband said, look, they're neighbours, you've got to get on with neighbours, so what? And the wife said, no, we're not giving them an invitation. And the husband didn't want to fight around with his wife, you know, it's the wife's name on the invitation as well. So no invitation was sent. Strangely as it happened, the neighbour still turned up at the bar mitzvah. Okay. He obviously knew about it. Well, with all the people coming and going. Yeah. So let's look at the Rambam. Let's look at the Rambam. The end of Hilchos Deos, which is the handout I've given out. Has anyone not got one? I've got a few more still. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, Halachas, Perek Zayin, Halachas Zayin, so that's the top of the page, or near the top. Hanoke mechavero over below sase. A person who takes revenge on a friend, well, friend doesn't really mean a friend here, does it? An acquaintance, is transgressing a mitzvah lo sasem in HaTorah Shinim, as it says in the Pasuk, which is in Parshas Kedoshim, lo siko. Even though the Beis Din don't give malchus for it, de'arohi, it is a very, very bad trait of character, ad ma'od, exceedingly. Ela ro'u lo, la'odom li'os ma'viram medosov. A person has to go against his own instinct. Ma'viram medosov means it is a natural thing for him to think of taking revenge. And a person has to control that. Al kol divrei ha'olam, on anything going on, she'akol eitzel nevinim, divrei hevel v'avoy. Because a person who understands what's going on in the world should recognize that this is just vanity. Life is too short to make a muck around and take revenge, and it's not right, and this is not what the Torah wants. But einon kadeilin kamaleim. One does not take revenge. Ketzad, example. Ketzad hiyanakimo. What does it mean? Omar lo chaveira hashileinu kadamecho. If a person says, please lend me your spade. Omar lo eini mashilcho. And the fellow responds, I'm sorry, I'm not lending it out to you. Lamocha, the following day, tzorich lishamimenu. He wants to borrow back. He now knows that this fellow's got a spade, which is a better spade, and he wants to borrow it. Omar lo chaveira hashileinu kadamecho. Could you lend me your spade? Amalo, eini mashilcho, I'm not lending you. Kederech shalevi shalsani, kishashalti mimcho. I'm not lending you my spade because you didn't lend me yours. Why should I? Hare zen, okay. That is what the Torah means by taking revenge, and this example is in fact in the Gemara in... Elo kashiyovo lo lishal, but when a person comes to borrow, yitain belech shalein, he shall give with a full heart. Velo yigmar lo kashir gomlo, he shouldn't do back to the other person what was done to him. And similar in all similar circumstances. And that's why David HaMelech said in his good ways in Gamalti Shomei Rav Achatzor, that I will do goodness even those to those who do harm to me. And then in Halacha Ches, V'chein kol ha-noter le'echod mi'Yisrael. Now noter, it says, lo sika ve'lo sika. Noter is not taking revenge. Noter is bearing a grudge. Of harbouring a resentment inside oneself. V'chein kol ha-noter le'echod mi'Yisrael over ve'lo sasa, when it's transgressing a lo sasa ve'lo tura, shenema ve'lo sito es b'nei ha-mecho, keik tadi ha-natiro. Give us an example of the tiro. Revu ve'ek shomad ha-shem and hiski li ba'yze. Please could you rent to me this house? Or Shimon shows there, or lend me an ox. The lower of Shimon, and Shimon does not want to. The Yomim by Shimon, the Ruvain. Later on, Shimon comes through. Ruvain, this shall be men who will discover men to borrow from him or hire from him. But when Ruvain, and Ruvain says to him, "Oh, look, I am lending to you, but I'm not like you. I'm not going to do to you what you did to me." That is called Natira, which is also awesome in our Torah. Even though he is lending him, he is hiring to him against the grain of his nature because Shimon didn't lend to him and so on, he's saying, yes, I'm not going to do what you did to me. That is awesome in our Torah. But should annul it from his heart, he should not bear a grudge. Because not only is Natira an Isra min HaTorah, also, if a person harbours that resentment, he will come eventually to do revenge. The Torah is particular on it. One should annul it from his heart. And a person should not remember the incident. And so the Rabbah wants to end off Hilchos Deos in an interesting ring. He says, that is the way forward. That is the way to achieve the proper, happy settlement of the land. In order that people can relate well and deal well with each other. That is the basic halacha. So, there are plenty of examples which we can give to illustrate what is nekoma. And we will also ask, when is it allowed? For example, your neighbour comes to you and says, I've got a fire in my house, I need to borrow your hose. And you decline. You shouldn't decline, but for some reason you decline to lend out the hose. Later on, you go to him, as he's a governor of the local school, and you say, could you help get my son into the school? For him to say, no, I'm not going to, because you didn't lend me your hose, is pure revenge. If he's just quiet and grumpy, that could be natira, that's harbouring a resentment. He should be saying, yes, gladly, I will do what I can to help you. Now, in what circumstances is the person allowed to decline assistance to get your son into the school? If he thinks that your son might be a bad influence in the school, if he thinks for some reason your child will not be suited, then he is permitted to refrain from helping. Maybe even if he feels that you're not going to afford the excessively high fees of the school, provided that that is the same treatment given to everybody. But certainly, to decline giving the help, because what was done in refusing to lend out the hose, that is also min ha-Torah. Now the question is, what if you do your revenge merely by silence? Even if you don't say, I won't loan you because you didn't lend me, one is also transgressing min ha-Torah. For example, let's say he drives past you and he fails to give you a lift. You're standing at the bus stop and he doesn't give you a lift. All right, maybe he didn't see you. But let's say you know for a fact that he saw you. So the following day, you get your car back from the service and his car went in for service and he's standing at the bus stop. For you to drive past and say, I'm not going to stop to give him a lift because he did not stop for me yesterday, is awesome in our Torah and is called revenge. All right, you never said anything to him. He doesn't really know why you didn't stop. Maybe it's because you're about to turn right and you're going in a different direction, or you're going the wrong way, or you're in a rush. Whatever it is, if you think to yourself, I'm not going to stop for him because he didn't stop for me, that is awesome in our Torah, and he might not know what your thought is, but you know what your thought is, and Hashem knows what your thought is. Now, even if you do stop to give him a lift, but you don't show any friendliness, and you don't show any smile, but you stop the car and go, all right, hop in, come on then, get in the car. If you show a grumpy face, then the poskim say you are still guilty of the issur. You just say, hello, how are you, come in, and where can I take you to? Now,
but you don't have the
bad
thoughts, but you may think you're doing it
at the same time. Yes, that is, your cheshbon is you've done nothing wrong. That maybe you didn't see him or you were in a rush. Okay, it's true, you're not guilty of Makoma. But he might then bear a grudge against you because you didn't stop. And he will assume that you didn't stop because he didn't stop. You can't be blamed for that. It doesn't go that far. What it boils down to is, what is your cheshbon, what is your thought, and what thought is there which Hashem recognizes in your mind? But to avoid hatred, we say you can distance from a person in order to avoid his bad ways. So let's say your neighbour is behaving in a rather bad way, or he's using bad language, you don't want your children to mix with their children because they're a bad influence, then you can certainly distance yourself from them. But you do so gradually to try and avoid hatred. Another example. If Shimon is a gossip against Reuven, and he's saying bad things about him, Reuven hears about it, he doesn't bear a grudge, but he's allowed to keep away from Shimon. He's allowed to sit in a different seat in shul, far away from him, in order to avoid him, because he doesn't want to hear Lashon Hara. But he shouldn't have any kavonos about revenge. Now, what if you know somebody quite well, but that person is not behaving so friendly to you anymore? So Reuven senses that Shimon just wants to be left alone. He wants his space, to use the terminology some of them use. Or he won't lend to you. Okay. Maybe you've asked him, could you lend me your car? And he said, and he always used to lend you his car. And now he stopped lending it to you. You can say to him, listen, why are you brogus with me? What have I done to you? And to do so is a mitzvah of tochacha. To do so is like telling off somebody, which is a mitzvah. And he doesn't reply. You say, look, why are you being like this to me? What have I done to you? And he doesn't reply. He's cold towards you. So for you to distance yourself from him is not called revenge. There's nothing wrong with that. You just feel as though, okay, he doesn't want my company, I'll keep it. As long as you don't harbour resentments. Now, the most common example of not lending, because the Gemara talks about lending and refusing to lend, the most common example where you are allowed not to lend is called kilkul hakli, is when you feel that your lawnmower or your car or whatever is going to be damaged, or there is a risk of being damaged. Somebody once came to me and asked if he could borrow a certain article, which was from an American paper, which was a very interesting and fantastic Torah article, and I lent it to him, and it was the only copy I had. And when I asked him for it back, he said he lost it. Sorry, but he couldn't find it. So I was a bit upset about that, because it wasn't easy to replace. But I did manage to get a replacement by writing off to America, to the paper which published it, and I did get a replacement. And then a short time later, he came to me and asked if he could borrow something from me, certain stencils, we had the duplicators in those days, which I had printed certain bits of Torah with, and he wanted to use that for disseminating, and I declined to lend it to him. I had no feeling of revenge because he had lost the article. I just felt as though there was a danger that he would lose this as well, and they were very delicate, and I thought they could easily be damaged. So I said, look, I'm sorry, I can't lend them out. That is allowed in halakha. I did in fact offer to make the copies for him myself. That is allowed min hadin. Why? Because kilkul kali is an issue which is implied even from the Gemara. When the Gemara says, I'm not going to lend to you because you didn't lend to me, that's called revenge. And that implies that you are allowed to refrain from lending if you have another genuine, legitimate reason. My late grandfather used to say, there are three things you should never lend out. A fountain pen, he says, because the nib is used to a certain kind of handwriting. And if you lend it out, it could harm it, it could damage it. He also said you shouldn't lend out your bicycle, because your bicycle is used to a certain manner of riding. And he also said you shouldn't lend out a wife. Anyway. I have in fact been asked sometimes to lend out sforim. Okay, you want to borrow a sefer? Have a sefer. But what I usually do in my unfortunately, I had experiences where people, you know, people do forget. They don't intend any harm. It goes on the shelf and they forget about it. You know, somebody once came to somebody else, could you let me say, give it back, you know, I've built up my library. So what I do is, personally, is if I lend out a safe, I'll say, look, do you think I could have it back by such and such a date? Yeah, because I might need it, and so on. Okay. And if by that date the person doesn't give it back to me, what I'll normally do is I'll go around to the house and collect it. And that person I will not lend out a safe to again. They're welcome to come around to my house. It's a reference library, it's not a lending library. But you are allowed to refrain from lending people something where you're worried you won't get it back or you think it might be damaged. Now, what if you feel revenge and you've got concern about damage? You've got two reasons for not lending out. What's the halacha there? The poskims discuss this and they say, well, what is your main intention? Let's be honest with yourself. Your main intention is either revenge or your main intention is damage. And that is really what it goes according to. But it's still midas chasidus if one can. Now, once I bought for my kids a sledge in the snowy weather, and one neighbour came to me and said, can we borrow it? You know how many days in every 5 years we get good snow when you can use a sledge. So I declined to lend it to them. Well, I said, well, I'll lend it to you, but you come back on Erev Shavuos. It was nothing to do with the fact that I knew that they could afford one if they wanted to. It was nothing to do with revenge. There was no harboring a grudge. I just wanted my kids to enjoy the sledge for those limited number of days that we had snow. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, what if a headmaster gets a reference from primary school for the grammar school, say, and he gets a whole load of boys who are not such good quality, they're not referred to him, they haven't referred to him the best boys, they've only referred to him the bad boys. So the headmaster feels a grudge against the headmaster of the primary school for sending him all the bad boys. Can he then, in future years, say, I'm not going to accept any boys from your school? Now, if it's revenge, he's not allowed to. But if it's for the sake of his school where he wants to maintain a certain standard, then he is allowed. Anyway, there are lots of examples like this, but time is short. What if you say, oh no, I don't have revenge, I just simply don't like the fella. There's a certain person who is active in the community, so he comes to me for professional advice frequently, and he's always been getting it for nothing. Recently he came to, well, he arranged to meet me and he didn't turn up at an agreed time. So we made another time and again he didn't turn up and I specially waited in for him. Now, if he wants to ask me for advice, I'm avoiding him. Is that correct? Or is that called revenge? As far as I'm concerned, I don't harbour any resentment, bad feelings. This is not revenge, it's just that my time is valuable to me. I've offered him time and he's misused it. So now, my attitude is, okay, if you want to make a professional appointment with me, you know, you can pay a fee for it. Look, right, we'll make a reduction for you, but I can't really do this for nothing. That is not called resentment, that is allowed. Now, what if... It is a fine line. It's based on honesty.
I'm not really harbouring resentment.
Well, look... Okay, if... Yeah, it's not right to harbour resentment. You know, oh, he's treating me like dirt. He's kicking me in the teeth. He thinks I'm there whenever he wants me. He thinks with his position in the community he can get what he wants. That is wrong. Yeah. But if... I've asked my Rosh Hashiva about doing work for mostness, doing work for charities. And he says to me, you're crazy doing it for nothing. From now on you tell people, look, you have to charge for it, this is your panosa, but you'll make a reduction for those charities which are worthy charities. He says, that you're perfectly allowed to do. And that way people might appreciate your time better. And that way if you're charging them for a missed appointment, which you're entitled to do, they will recognise that you're not to be mucked about. The Poskim right, you're not expected to sit like a silent stone. That is to say that if your feelings are affected that way, you're allowed to say something about it, but you don't harbour that resentment. There is a fine line to be drawn.
See, you could ask the same thing, why haven't the focus continued to treat you badly? You want to learn something from him, he continuously stays low.
Right.
And now he comes to learn something else from you, but he's not treating you correctly. Must you be a stone, or can you stand for something right?
Well, you can politely say to him, look, you know, let's have a chat together. And you can say, do you think it's right? You know, I'm gladly lending to you. I've got no resentment against you. But you can chat with him and say, do you think it's, you know, I'm very curious. Why is it that you're behaving this way? You can do that.
Pardon?
If your sentiment is revenge, it's against the Torah. But if you open up to him and say, look, you know, I don't understand what you're doing. You know, I'm quite happy to lend to you. I don't harbour any grudge, but why are you not behaving like me? And if he then is grumpy and obstinate and so on, then you can certainly distance yourself from him socially, right? But you're not allowed to have the motive of revenge.
Do you have to lend to yourself?
So depressing.
Right. You're quite right in impressing me. You would still lend to him. Unless there's some other reason, that is to say, yeah. But you can say to him, look, you know, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you're behaving this way. You know, we always get on so well. What is it about, you know, try and sound him out. What's he playing at? And I think most people by that time will stop asking you to lend them your expensive hi-fi stereo equipment. I'm sorry?
With children.
Right.
You can't take children or whatever, you know.
Yes, it does apply.
Say, well, I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. Because, you know, I'm not going to buy you this, I'm not going to take them out for a minute.
Oh, yeah, I'll come to family in a moment, yeah. It also relates to husband and wife. Yeah, we'll come to that. What time do I finish, Mr. Chair?
Now.
Okay. All right, I'm assuming I'm supposed to finish by 9:40. Right, okay.
Really, my question is more than just revenge. If somebody's being nasty to you, are you allowed to be nasty back?
Right. I'll tell you when. Right, okay. The halacha says. Right. Okay. What the halacha says is allowed is this. If somebody does something nasty which causes you a lot of personal tsar, if somebody's really horrible to you. When I was a child, there was a distant relation who was causing a lot of anguish to my grandmother. So much so that they made her cry, and I felt very upset about it myself. And my grandmother used to say, why do they go for me like this? What have I done to them? They caused a real anguish. And Halacha writes about when somebody causes you real personal tsar, are you allowed to take nekoma? And the answer to that is, you're not allowed to take active nekoma. I'm going to do this to them because of what they did to me. That's awesome. What you are allowed to do is silent nekoma. What is silent nekoma? It was Shimon who did something nasty to Levi. And Reuven does something nasty to Shimon. Levi has not got to stick up for Shimon. Levi has not got to stand and defend him. Levi can be silent. If Levi had personal anguish caused by Shimon, that is allowed. But that's as far as it goes. There are other examples in Halacha. It applies, like, if there are third parties or other members of the family. Like, let's say a teacher gives your son poor marks in school and you believe that there's some personal grudge there. And you believe that your son is the best boy of the class. Apparently I heard that in one local Jewish school, a parent went to the teacher and said, can I just look at the maths paper which you marked, where the child got a low mark, and the parent just added up all the marks, and it was 24% more than the mark which was given. Let's say a teacher gives poor marks, and later that teacher comes to you for some help, let's say for a shidduch or something like that, then you can't take revenge. You have to be helpful. Similarly, revenge also applies to one's belongings. What does it mean to one's belongings? Let's say somebody who works for you asks you for a rise, and you decline to give it, so he feels a resentment towards you. He then goes out driving your van and says, oh, I can't be bothered anymore about the way I handle this van, if it gets some scrapes and scratches, or he uses the brakes very hard, because he says, I've got this needle against my employer. That is osur as well. And even if your victim is unaware, well, we spoke before about the lift, but let's say you are handling a lot of applications for some interest-free loans, and one of those from somebody against whom you harbour a resentment, and you see his application, and you take it out and you put it at the bottom of the pile. That is nekoma and is awesome in HaTorah. Now, we've spoken a bit about simcha invitations. What if you say, I'm not going to go to his simcha because he didn't come to mine? Well, I invited him, he didn't come, so why should I go to his? Now, there's a difference in halacha. If you've always been close friends, and it was always natural for you to go to his simcha, him to come to yours, then that is called nekoma. If you are close friends, for you not to go to his simcha is called revenge. But if you are just general acquaintances, and you don't have much to do with each other, and you get an invitation, and he didn't come to your simcha, and you don't feel an obligation to go to his because you're not so close, that's not called revenge. It's still nice to go to the simcha, but he is not being so particular to see you or to expect you at his kiddush. He won't say in the kiddush, where was he? Then you're allowed to stay away. You can say, I'm sorry I didn't come to your kiddush, I'm too busy or I'm too tired. If you say that, that is allowed. Min hadin.
The same thing applies to invitations. You see the invitation of somebody, your close friend, or an acquaintance. You don't have to let you invite them.
Right, yeah, if somebody's not close. Some people, they send invitations to everyone on the shul's mailing list because they don't want to miss anybody out. And you don't know them so well, you've never had anything to do with them. You greet the fellow good Shabbos. If you don't go, or if you don't send him an invitation, you're not doing anything wrong, because that's not called nekoma. You can't be expected to invite everybody. Okay.
Can I ask a question about the adding up of the marks?
Yes.
There's a problem coming up there. What did the farmer do?
Well, the parent went to the teacher and challenged it, and had it remedied. Well, you have to go and confront. I know that the person went to the teacher and said, you know, why did you do this? Yeah, that is the way to do it. There's no nekoma involved when you go to the teacher and say, look, why did you give my kid the wrong mark? I've added it up. This is, you know, you can confront the teacher and say, this isn't right. And if you don't get a redress from the teacher, you can go to the head teacher. Yeah, that's not called revenge. You are. This is the Human Rights Act.
While we're on the subject of schools, my wife, the teacher, has come up with quite horror stories. One of the horror stories is as follows. You know, one has different children, and one school A is suitable for one child, and school, but not for your son, but school.
I don't think it's the comma. I think this can be criticised a number of ways, but we haven't got time. So if I can go into this now, we'll chat about it later, because I wanted to deal a bit between that husband and wife. I'm not a marriage guidance counsellor. There is, in fact, a Gemara which says that that a person can divorce his wife if she constantly cooks so badly for him. And that is not called nekama. Now, I don't want to be the cause of any strife, but if a person scowls because his dinner is not ready on time, and he makes some nasty remark to his wife, that is osur. Unless there's a brief comment, it says, it's not ethical to do, but it's not called nekama. But let's say he forgot her birthday. Let's say he forgot to give her a birthday present. So she feels really angry. And as a result of that anger, she decides she's not going to tidy up the house. She's not going to make his bed like she usually does. I'm not saying she has to make a bed. Or she refrains to give him lunch. Just in order to upset her husband, that is osur mishum nekama. That is osur min ha-Torah. But if she was simply upset, and as a result of being upset, she was depressed, and she didn't then make his bed and dinner ready, that is allowed. That's not called nekama. If she provoked his anger, if she did something which provoked her husband's anger, anger is not called nekama. One shouldn't get angry. There is a whole din of kas. But that's not called nekama if there was an immediate reaction. He's not, it's written, expected to be quiet like stone. A day before my chuppah, my Rosh Hashiva said to me, he says, if something bothers you, don't bottle it up. Because if you bottle it up, eventually it will come out and it will be even worse. On the other hand, there are times when it is good to bottle up. But it is also to continue to harbour a resentment. Because some husbands and wives, years and years later, they come out with something saying, well, you didn't do this to me 10 years ago, so why should I do it to you? That is nekama. If a man waits for his wife, I'm talking all the time about as though the wife is evil. Right, let's say she has to wait for him at an agreed time at the station and he doesn't turn up. He's half an hour late. So as he's approaching, she thinks to herself, I want him to know what it feels like. I'm going to hide behind this pillar as he's approaching and I'll make him wait for me for 10 minutes. That is nekama. That's not allowed. If let's say he comes home late. Let's say he was learning and he made some medrash. And he got carried away with that. He comes home very late and she gets angry about it. So the following day she goes to a parents' evening and thinks to herself, I'll come home late, let him know what it feels like, and she chats around and so on. That is nekama, it's not allowed. Let's say she was spiteful to him. As a result of that, the husband says, I'm now going to withhold money from her. I won't give her the money for her new outfit. That is nekama, it's not allowed. So this is, simply v'avta re'acha kamocha. It applies between husband and wife just like between anyone else, if not more so. So there is this concept then within the marriage and with children. Now if you say to your child, if it's to try and enhance their character, that's not called revenge. If you genuinely feel that as a result of their misdeed, they should be deprived of something. But they shouldn't be taught the mentality of taking revenge. They have to be taught, though, the difference between right and wrong, and if they do wrong, that there are punishments for it. Anyway, when the Chofetz Chaim was once faced by a thief, and the thief stole something from him, and the thief was running away, the Chofetz Chaim started running after him, and shouted after him, I give it to you as a matana, I want you to keep it, because the Chofetz Chaim did not want that person to be guilty of theft. That is the virtue which the Chofetz Chaim had, which is the virtue we should try to emulate, and not to harbour resentments. In a way, it boils down to humility. It boils down to our nama. If something bad is done to one of us, we should feel as though that is what God wanted. But at the same time, there are times when we don't have to be quiet like stone. And that's why it's important to get involved in these halachas, because it's so easy to fall into the wrong way. Thank you for listening to me so patiently. Thank you.